From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listeners, welcome back to the English service for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today we have a lot of information coming from our country and we would like to begin with the news, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The naming of President Joko Widodo's street does not break Indonesia's support for Palestine. Vice President Maruf Amin entreats regional heads to remain committed to fighting stunting. Now the news in details. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko affirmed in Jakarta on Wednesday that the naming of President Joko Widodo's street in Abu Dhabi shows the improvement of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates. He also remarked that this shows the appreciation from the United Arab Emirates for Joko Widodo's leadership in Indonesia. He added that the naming is not only to boost economic relations between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates, but also to enhance the cooperative relations between the two countries in many sectors, including the cultural sectors. I think the diplomatic relation is meant in a broader sense, not only from an economic perspective, but also from a broader sense of how to build cultural relation, build social sector relation and others. I think the broader understanding of diplomatic relation is not for one sector. Even though the United Arab Emirates is one of the countries that is threatening relations with Israel, Muldoko further stated that Indonesia still insists on the free and active politics that has been running so far. He also pointed out that Indonesia's position in supporting the Palestinian will not be affected, although President Joko Widodo has been used as a name of street in Abu Dhabi.
Politik luar negeri kita adalah politik yang bebas aktif.
Firstly, Indonesian foreign policy is a free and active politics, and it is believed and carried out by every leader of Indonesia. Secondly, Indonesian foreign policy towards Palestine has never changed, so it still exists. It will not be affected by the naming of the street. According to a written statement from the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates, the inauguration of the name of the street was carried out on October 19, 2020. It was done by a member and chairman of the Abu Dhabi Executive Office, Sheikh Khalid bin Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and it was attended by Indonesian Ambassador to United Arab Emirates, Husin Bagis. Ambassador Husin stated that President Joko Widodo Street is located on one of the main streets, which separates Abu Dhabi National Exhibition Center, ADNEC, with an area occupied by diplomatic representative offices. In response to the name, President Joko Widodo through social media stated that the naming of the street is a form of appreciation and respect for Indonesia. The president said that this is an illustration of how close the relationship is between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates that have been working together in many fields. Vice President Maruf Amin earnestly sought the unwavering, strong commitment of regional heads to lower the prevalence of stunting among Indonesian children, based on the central government's large budget to accelerate the fight against stunting. During his opening remarks at a virtual technical coordination meeting to discuss acceleration of stunting preventions on Wednesday, he stated that with a strong commitment from regional heads, the preventions of stunting can be made a development priority in the region. As a result, all necessary resources can be mobilized. As quoted by Teranus Agency, Vice President Maruf Amin also remarked that the central government has allocated huge budget and implemented various programs along with regional authorities to speed up the reduction of stunting in their regions. In general, Management of stunting encompasses specific nutritional intervention by improving nutrition and health in addition to sensitive nutrition interventions such as the provision of clean water and sanitation. Deputy Prime Minister of Finance Suhasil Nazara emphasized the need to reform the country's pensions ecosystem to make it more optimal to encourage medium and long-term economic growth. As reported by Antara News Agency, he noted during an international webinar on pensions in Jakarta on Wednesday that pensions reforms aim to promote medium and long-term economic growth and not far. The budget today or the next day. Conducting structural reforms is necessary to emerge from the pandemic. Nazara also highlighted that the pension ecosystem reform is related to the role of deepening the financial system since pension is one of the sources of funding for development. However, he pointed to the challenges still encumbering Indonesia, considering its economic structure is still higher in the informal sector that has not covered much of the pension scheme. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Trials of the COVID-19 vaccine being developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University will continue following a review in the death of volunteer in Brazil. As quoted by BBC.com, Brazil's health authority has given no details about the death, citing confidentiality protocols. Oxford University said a careful assessment has revealed no safety concerns. The BBC understands that the volunteer did not receive the vaccine. Only around half the volunteers in the trial are given the actual Oxford University COVID-19 vaccine. The second group are being given an existing licensed vaccine for meningitis. Neither the participants nor their families know which vaccine they are being given. This enables the researchers to compare the results for the two groups in order to measure whether the vaccine is effective. Nearly two-thirds of U.S. states were in a danger zone of coronavirus spread, and six, including election battleground Wisconsin, reported a record one-day increase in COVID-19 death on Wednesday, while the pandemic's resurgence in Europe strained hospitals, as reported by Reuters.com. According to a Reuters analysis, coronavirus death hit fresh daily records in Hawaii, Kansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Montana, and Wisconsin, a state that also reported a record daily increase in new cases together with Colorado, Illinois, Kentucky, and Ohio. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers announced that a field hospital in the Milwaukee suburbs admitted its first COVID-19 patients since it opened last week. Evers also said, "Folks, please stay home and help them protect their communities from this highly contagious virus and avoid further strain on the hospital." The United States and China dealt with the spread of the devastating coronavirus pandemic in vastly different ways, and that splits in reshaping the global battle between the world's two leading economies. As quoted by Reuters.com, about 11 months after the Wuhan outbreak, China's official GDP numbers this week shows not only that the economy is growing, up 4.9% for the third quarter from a year earlier, but also that the Chinese are confident enough the virus has been vanquished to go shopping, dine, and spend figuratively. China's total reported death toll is below 5,000, and new infections are negligible. The result of draconian's lockdowns, millions of tests, and strict contact tracing that set the stage for an economic rebound. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is today's commentary entitled Beware Human Trafficking Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. Cross-country crime threat is a global issue amid the COVID-19 pandemic. An organized cross-country crime that is under the headlight during the pandemic currently is trafficking in persons. According to United Nations, the traffickers are targeting from migrant workers who lose their job to school dropouts. Global economic slowdown has made many people lose their jobs, including the migrant workers. This condition is very prone to be exploited by the transnational criminal organizations. According to data from the UN, many from 164 million migrant workers globally are stranded in foreign countries, and they cannot return to their home countries or even do not seek help because of country lockdown and tight immigration policies. These people then are vulnerable to be human trafficking victims. Meanwhile, Statistics Indonesia, or BPS, recorded that there are 276,553 Indonesian migrant workers abroad in 2019. This data covers only migrant workers abroad with official documents. During the COVID-19 pandemic, many Indonesian migrant workers abroad were affected. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry data showed there are two affected groups of Indonesian migrant workers, namely the ship crews, especially who work on cruises, and migrant workers with limited mobility. Indonesian migrant workers in 16 countries were affected by mobility limitation policy. Then, what is Indonesia's effort in protecting the migrant workers abroad from organized transnational criminal groups? Indonesia already has enough legal basis to protect their citizens, especially the migrant workers, from trafficking in persons. Indonesia has a law, which is Law No. 8, 2017, on migrant worker protection. This law becomes a form of Indonesia's presence in providing service and protection for every migrant worker. Still, the implementation of this law requires partnership of all. This partnership includes tight cooperation with law enforcer, private sector, labor union, recruitment agency, and bodies that monitor worker departure. International cooperation is also necessary to be increased in order to prevent the transnational criminal organizations. And listener, that was the commentary today.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku cekuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, in our daily segment, Today in History, we start with the event on October 22, 1939, when Hamengkubuwono VIII, the King of Yogyakarta Sultanate, passed away. Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono VIII was one of the kings in the Yogyakarta Sultanate from 1921 until 1939. His real name is Gusti Raden Mas Sujadi. He was crowned as Sultan of Yogyakarta on February 8, 1921. During his reign, he carried out a lot of rehabilitation of the Yogyakarta Palace complex. He was one of the first people among the top politicians in Yogyakarta City to support Kiai Haji Ahmad Dahlan in forming Muhammadiyah as form of loyalty to Islam. He passed away on October 22, 1939. Next event, still on October 22nd, is about National Islamic Student Day. This commemoration of National Islamic Student Day was determined by President Joko Widodo at the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta on October 22, 2015. The determination of the National Islamic Student Day is intended to exemplify the spirit of jihad to the students about Indonesianism that was promoted by the clerics. The date refers to a historical event, namely the call that was read out by the national hero K.H. Hasyim Asy'ari on October 22, 1945. This call contained an order for Muslims to fight against allied troops which wanted to recolonize the territory of the Republic of Indonesia after the proclamation of independence. The intention was British allies as victors of World War II to take over the colony of Japan. Behind the British army, there were Dutch troops who joined the allies. The last event is about International Stuttering Awareness Day. October 22nd was determined as International Stuttering Awareness Day, or ISAD, in 1998. This day is intended to raise public awareness that approximately 1% of the world's population has a stuttering disorder. In an article published in the British Community magazine to mark International Stuttering Awareness Day, Irina Papencheva of the Bulgarian Stuttering Association and Phil Madden of the European Association of Service Providers for People with Disabilities demanded a new start in stuttering. They say that everyone has a responsibility to be aware and to be sensitive in our conversations and meetings, and to be in mind that stuttering is not funny. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Setelah begitu lama tersisa air mata, banyaknya kenangan yang tak akan terlupakan, masa-masa yang indah, masa-masa kita bersama. Perasaan mendalam yang takkan pernah reda, ku maafkan aku tak pernah mendengar, maafkan aku tak pernah melihatmu pergi. Ku ingin kau di sini.
Tegak, ku kan mencoba melewatinya. Lepas, lepaskan semua yang sudah berlalu. Tapi tanpa dirimu tak mungkin ku terus berlari tanpa kaki. Senyumanmu walau sedetik saja. lepaskan semua yang sudah berlalu. Tapi tanpa dirimu tak mungkin ku terus berlari tanpa kaki. Erang, ku kan bertahan, janjiku tetap ada untukmu sampai selamanya. Tapi tanpa dirimu tak mungkin ku terus berlari.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia. Next, we got more information for you in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, the conservation community was declared by the Faculty of Forestry, IPB University. The Department of Forest Resources, Conservation and Ecotourism, Faculty of Forestry and Environment, IPB University, made a community conservation declaration on Sunday, October 18. Dean of the Faculty of the Forestry and Environment of IPB University, Dr. Nareswaro Nugroho, in a written statement in Jakarta said that the declaration was made after holding a virtual discussion with the theme toward the establishment of Indonesian Conservation Society. Nareswaro Nugroho emphasized that the main objective of the declaration was to encourage the creation of an Indonesian conservation community. There are many challenges faced by conservationists, including differences in opinion regarding conservation between pro-humans and pro-environment, as well as the complexity of environmental management issues. It needs an integrated strategy that involves various parties to face these challenges. Nareswaro said the conservation community could become a forum for creating the strategy. The forum was attended by more than 200 participants who came from various agency backgrounds, including government, non-governmental organizations, practitioners, academicians, and also various generations from elders to millennial youth. Resource persons who shared their experiences also came from a variety of different backgrounds. Head of the Department of Forest Resources, Conservation and Ecotourism, Dr. Nyoto Santoso Satyawan, conveyed the need to lay a correct foundation in the formation of a conservation forum. He also emphasized the importance of networks to resolve problems and differences that occur between various stakeholders in conservation issues. Meanwhile, Professor of the Department of Forest Resources, Conservation and Ecotourism, Harini Muntasib, conveyed the importance of forming a conservation community and the importance of socializing the value of conservation, including highlighting the importance of inclusiveness in conservation community membership. After the declaration of the establishment of the Nature and Environment Conservation Society in Indonesia by the Dean of the Faculty of Forestry, of IPB University, the next step is the formulation of the initial concept of governance, the code of conduct, by a small team. That was my Indonesia.
Kehabisan cara tuk jelaskan padamu, mengapa sulit tuk lupakanmu. Aku kehabisan cara tuk gambarkan padamu, kau di mata dan di pandanganku. Coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau akan mengerti,
kau akan mengerti bagai mana ku melihatmu mengagumimu, menyayangi. Dari sudut pandangku, dari sudut pandangku,
aku kehabisan cara tuk gambarkan padamu, kau di mata dan di pandanganku. Seandainya satu hari bertukar jiwa, kau akan mengerti dan berhenti bertanya-tanya.
Coba sehari saja,
coba satu hari saja, kau jadi diriku.
Kau
dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku, oh, dari sudut pandangku.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. 5. Medical treatment as soon as possible, and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia. Next one, we'll present you some information about our tourism and also our local wisdom while in this pandemic in which you cannot go to visit our countries. So make sure that you will listen the next one. The next one is Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Genggong art from Bali. Listener, at a session of the Ministry of Education and Culture on October 6 to 9, three cultural heritages of Denpasar, Bali were designated as Intangible Cultural Heritage of Indonesia 2020. Head of Cultural Office Denpasar, Bagus Mataram, said the three cultural works are Nanda Tradition, Genggong Art, and Gambuh Pedungan Art. Today's edition of Indonesian Wonder will introduce you to one of three cultural heritages of Denpasar City, namely Genggong Art. Genggong is a traditional music art in Banjar Pegok, Sesetan, Denpasar. This art has existed since the 1930s, played by I Ketut Regen or Pekak Danjur. To play Genggong music, it has a distinctive technique by attaching to the mouth while vibrating through the pulling of the rope or nyedet and using the throat resonance method to produce the tone. Genggong was originally made of dried palm leaf madrep or ngoyong, which was formed with 18 to 20 centimeters long and 1.5 to 2 centimeters wide. Due it is difficult to get palm leaf madrep, genggong is also produced by using bamboo material. Genggong art at Banjar Pegok Sesetan was previously played to entertain people themselves during rest time when they finish their activities in the fields because the local people are mostly farmers. Besides that, it is also a place to socialize and get together. Now the function of genggong is slightly shifted. This traditional art is now often played as a dance accompaniment with other musical instruments as well as a medium for community entertainment. That was today's Indonesian Wonder featuring Genggong Art, one of intangible cultural heritages of Indonesia 2020. Thank you for listening.
Bukan hanyalah
Alright, more information from Indonesia is still coming up. The next one will be Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia. Listener, we still got one more song for you, so make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song, Kala Cinta Menggoda by Krisha. The lyrics of the song Kala Cinta Menggoda were composed by Guru Sukarno Putra. This song tells about cheating, a person who loves someone other than his or her lover. The song, which was released in 1997, is a phenomenal music work with many achievements. Thanks to the song Kala Cinta Menggoda, Chrisye won the Asia Viewer's Choice Award at the MTV Video Music Award in 1998 as well. The success of this song inspired Noah Ben to re-release this song. On June 19, 2020, Noah Ben has managed to release a recycled song, Kala Cinta Menggoda, with mellow music rhythm. Let's listen to the song Kala Cinta Menggoda by Chrisye. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Almost an hour lead from Voice of Indonesia accompanying you in this English program. You have listened to so many information and also good music from our country. Please do not hesitate to tell us what you think. Send it to our email voi@voinews.id or our Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.